بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And once again, عيد مبارك. As the day of Eid, and actually these 3-4 days, which are called Ayyam al-Tashriq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that these are Ayyam al-Aklin wa Shurbin, right? Days of eating and drinking, of course, halal. It's a time of being generous to family, to friends, to neighbors, to others. Yet what I find somewhat disturbing sometimes is the carelessness that we see at times, not all the time, but sometimes, with regards to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the state of people or of a community is tight, when things are difficult, then every bite, every penny, every morsel, every drop is valued. It's saved, it's valued, it's cherished, as it ought to be, as it should be. But what we notice sometimes is when times are good and there is no immediate threat of poverty, no immediate threat of hunger, then our attitude tends to change. Right? We get carried away in materialism, commercialism, and it appears that we have no value or regard for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that He has gifted to us. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the ibadur rahman, right, servants of the most gracious, meaning the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those, so the qualities of these people, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is those when they spend, neither do they do israf, nor are they tight-fisted. And they hold a medium in between. كَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامٌ. They hold a medium in between. They're balanced in this. In a number of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about israf. And that He doesn't like the musrifun, those who do israf. So what is israf? A lot has been written. A lot has been written by scholars, especially the great commentators of the Qur'an. But the simplest translation is that israf is excessiveness or extravagance. This is what is referred to by israf. So it's those, meaning those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quality is that they are the ones who do not spend excessively and they are not extravagant in their spending. Yet, at the same time, they are not miserly either. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he writes that they are not extravagant, spending more than they need to, nor are they miserly towards their families, not spending enough on their needs. But what do? He says, but they follow the best and the fairest way. And the best of matters are those which are moderate, neither one extreme nor the other. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً وَلَا تَجَعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. And let not your hand be tied to your neck like a miser. That's, it's tied, like you never gets to move and to actually spend. Nor stretch it forth to its utmost reach like a spendthrift, so that you become blameworthy and in severe poverty. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, He gives us a moderate approach. He says, don't be a miser that as if your hands just cannot move, stretch out at all to spend. But on the other hand, don't try to overextend yourself, where you stretch your hands so far and wide and you spend everywhere that at the end, you find yourself being financially irresponsible and you find yourself in severe poverty. So take a balanced approach. So essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us a message of moderation when it comes to our finances, to our spending, In the same way as he gives us that message for all other matters as well. So don't be stingy, right? Especially on the days of Eid. We want to spend, especially on our loved ones and our family members and our friends. So we want to be generous. But don't go beyond your means either. Don't go beyond your means either. That your spending drives you to the edge, to bankruptcy and to poverty. Now back in the days, it was still possible that you would be able to borrow and keep spending away beyond your means by borrowing money. But now it's become so much more easier. It's so much more easier. If you have a credit card, your credit limit, you have no credit limit or it's very high, it's very easy to get carried away and to lose track where you find yourself in that situation. So this is the guidance with regards to our needs. The things that we actually need and that are essential for us and that are important for us. Now when it comes to wasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Squander not your wealth in the manner of a spendthrift. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Verily the spendthrifts are brothers of the evil ones. They are the brothers of the shayateen. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And the evil one to his Lord ungrateful. So if we are wasting, right, if we are wasting, and especially when it comes to eating and drinking, right, we see it's very, very common, unfortunately. You know, you go somewhere, you will be getting together other people's houses, your house, and having parties and having food and so on, which is very good. Don't get me wrong. You don't go home and tell your wife, well, the imam said you should be on a diet on Eid, so you know, just keep it tight. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, let's not be wasteful. Because what happens, we're hungry, keep filling up our plate. Right? And then halfway through, three quarters through, I can't have any more. And then all that food goes to waste. All that food goes to waste. And for some reason, it doesn't even click. And you don't notice anything. You don't realize that there's something wrong with this picture by throwing away that food, which is perfectly palatable, it's perfectly eatable. Whenever you go to a restaurant and you order food and there's leftovers, we hardly think twice about sending the leftovers back into the garbage. Or into composting, or whatever it is. Well, at least it's better than throwing it away in the garbage. But still, if it's perfectly eatable food, there's nothing to be ashamed of in taking your food with you. There's nothing to be ashamed of in taking your food with you. Whenever I go somewhere, some of you might know, in Ramadan, whenever I took too much, somebody put too much in my plate, I'll ask for a container, I'll take it home. Okay, in a restaurant, I'll ask for a container, I'll take it home. Oh, so there's nothing to be ashamed of in that you're looking greedy. For some reason, there is that perception that it's actually a good thing to leave some food. Because otherwise, if you finish all of your food, it looks like you were very hungry, or you eat a lot, or you're greedy, or something. No. You're honoring, you're showing respect for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by putting them where they belong, in your stomach. Not in the garbage can. That's not where they belong. Right? So don't be ashamed. People should not feel ashamed. And I hear this over and over again, where people feel ashamed of, you know, taking their food with them, for example. There's nothing wrong with that. You ate it, no one else is going to eat it now. If you leave it, no one's going to eat it. It's going to go straight in the garbage. So you ask for a container and you take it with you. There's nothing wrong with that. And that way, you are honoring and respecting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He does not like those who waste. Right? And by rejecting the blessings, right? By throwing away, what are we saying? That this blessing came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This blessing came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we rejected it. We did not want it anymore. We were full. Now, there's something wrong with the food, of course, right? So if it's going bad, or if there's, then that's a separate matter. But I'm talking about food, which is perfectly fine and can be eaten, then an effort should be made to try to save it. First of all, be careful when you're taking it in the first place. Don't take too much. Take a bit less. Doctors will agree with me. They're nodding. Yes, it's good for your health. Right? Take less. Cut down your portion sizes. But if for some reason you end up with more, try your best not to let it go to waste. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, eat and drink. Eat and drink, right? We're not stopping anyone from eating and drinking. Dress up, Right? Wear your nice clothes on Eid, on Jum'ah, or whenever, right? If you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with wealth, yes, use it. Right? Use it and appreciate it and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, even give sadaqah. So the hadith is, eat and drink, dress, and give sadaqah without extravagance and without arrogance. Very valuable words. Eat and drink and dress, and even give sadaqah without extravagance and without arrogance. So do all of these things, right? Eat well, drink, dress up, give sadaqah as well, without extravagance and without arrogance. So whatever is within your means, right? And that which will not make you arrogant, right? That which will not make you arrogant. So if you're wearing, you know, a nice pair of clothes, nice shoes, and if it's bringing arrogance, then there's a problem, right? If you're eating or drinking in a certain way and it's making you extravagant and it's making you arrogant, then that's problematic. But if you're not wasting, if you're within your means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with wealth, then it's fine, you eat it, and you're dressed, and you appreciate it, you thank Allah, and that's it. You keep thanking, inshallah, Allah will keep giving you more. Right? But when it comes to wasting, this is something that we really need to put the brakes on. And it's very heartbreaking when we see, you know, every time we have an event at the masjid, right? Every time we have iftar, any other event where there's food, there's always, always, always that food that goes to waste. Right? And this is very unfortunate, because somebody has cooked it. Right, just think about the rice on your plate. You know, it has come from somewhere far away. Somebody, you know, you put it into the ground, it grew, it came, it got processed, it arrived on your plate. This blessing traveled so far to arrive on your plate, and then it's going in the garbage. So this is not appropriate with your brothers and sisters. So let's be careful about that, and especially educate our children, our family members, our spouses, and make them aware of this, inshallah. Now there's a few other minor things I would just like to mention. So regarding the udhiya, right, the qurbani, the sacrifice of the animal, this is something, according to the different scholars, something which is either highly recommended to do during this time, or at the most, so at the minimum it's highly recommended, at most it is wajib if you are able to afford it, it is required. I got a call after Eid prayer from some of the brothers who were at the slaughterhouse to sacrifice there, to do the udhiya, to sacrifice the animal. And they're saying, well, there's provincial inspectors here, and they're telling us that we have to stun the animal before we slaughter it. That we have to stun the animal before we sacrifice it. So they won't let us sacrifice it without stunning. So what should we do? What should we do? So there's two types of stunning, right? There's two types of stunning that is used to stun animals here. One is captive bolt, which actually has a bolt inside it. That when the animal is shot right here to make it unconscious, the bolt actually goes into the head and then comes back up. Okay. Another one is an air gun. So there's no bullet, there's no bolt, there's nothing, there's just air. So the air one is something that the scholars say could be used if it is absolutely necessary, if there's no other option. Because, of course, like all other matters, our deen, Islam, teaches us to be compassionate towards animals as well. So if you need to sacrifice an animal and you need it for the meat, or you're sacrificing it because of Allah's command, you do it in the best way possible. That's why the knife should be sharp. It should be, even the animal should be away from other animals, right? So the other animals are not able to see what is happening, right? So they don't feel bad. So all of these, you know, there's different considerations. So every effort should be made to treat the animals kindly and to make this as swift as possible. So the reason why the stunning is normally not allowed is because this is something which prolongs the suffering, right? This is something unnecessary. It makes it prolonged, right? And it is unnecessary pain for the animals. So that's why it is not recommended, and we should try not to do it whenever possible. But if it's necessary, you have no other option, then if it's the air gun and it's not going to kill the animal, right? It's not going to kill the animal, normally it doesn't kill the animal, then you can have it stunned, and immediately after that, you can do the dhabah and you can sacrifice it. Of course, the takbirat which we are reciting is something that we should be doing from after each fard prayer and whenever possible, but especially after the fard prayers from the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah until the 13th. So the Fajr of the 9th, which was yesterday, Thursday at Fajr time. So after every fard prayer, we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd, till Asr on the 13th, right, which would be Monday, inshallah. Now with regards to the Eid prayer, actually the etiquettes of any gathering, the etiquettes of any gathering, right? So whether it's the Eid prayer, or it's here at the masjid, or anywhere else where we have someone speaking or there's something going on. A few notes. So first of all, for the adults, because I was going to mention the children, but first I think you should address the adults first, right? The children are children. So adults, first of all, you know, if there was something going on, and normally if it's a small place, right, then you know, and you can see the speaker, and you know, most people will respect that and be quiet. But in any case, if you want to have a conversation, right, if you want to talk, please step outside. Right, because you may think you are only one person who's having a light, you know, conversation, a light chat, but when half the congregations or half the group starts doing that, then it becomes a bit of a problem. Right, so if you need to speak, first of all, when the khutbah is going on, especially, or when there's some lecture or something going on, we should listen, especially for the khutbah. Especially for the khutbah. Right, so we should be listening to that. We should be listening to that. And people might say, well, we're not going to be able to hear, but if everyone actually kept quiet, then everyone may be actually able to hear. In any case, so if there needs to be something which is discussed, which needs to be discussed, perhaps it can wait for a few minutes until after the khutbah is finished. But if not, if it's something important and you really have to socialize with someone because you saw them after 20 years or whatever, then maybe you can step outside, inshallah, and have that conversation there, first of all. Secondly, when it comes to the children, I'm not going to complain and rant about children, okay? Especially the younger children, because I know children are children. Okay? Children, there's a reason why they're not required to offer salah. There's a reason why there is so much flexibility for children. But what I'm talking about really are children who are now going to school. Okay? Children who are above 4 and 5, who are going to school, they go to class, they understand. Yes, Islamically, they're still not fully responsible for everything. But please, parents, make sure you know where your children are. During Eid Salah, we had children who were running around. And these are not babies. These are children who come to my classes and who I teach. I'm talking about children in grade 2, 3, 4, even 5 perhaps. That is unacceptable, really. And we should all know where our children are. Especially if they're that age, they're school age children. We can keep them, I hope. Okay, I hope you have enough... enough of authority over them that you can keep them with you, right, for a few minutes during Eid Salah. Or at least don't trust them and say, yes, I trust my child, though they're not going to be doing anything, they're going to be sitting somewhere with their friends. No, don't do that. Okay? Because children are children, they'll get carried away. And during Salah, they're making noise, they're running around, during the khutbah, they're making noise. So please, a reminder that we keep our children with us. Younger children, yes, I know they may cry, I have a young child as well. They may cry, they might make noise. If that happens, you know, you can take them outside. Mother can take them outside, father, whoever can take them outside. And that is fine, inshallah. And that is understandable if a young child cries. But when you have older children, like I'm saying, above kindergarten, right, grade 1, and above and beyond, who are running around, this is not something which is right. And as parents, we need to take responsibility of that. So keep that in mind, please, and share it with others as well. Right, because some may not be here today. So share it and let it be known that, you know, this is something which is not unreasonable, which is something which is reasonable. It's not for a very long period of time. And this is a responsibility for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May He grant us happiness and peace and love and increase in our iman and health and everything which is good for all of us, for in this life and in the hereafter as well. Ameen. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.